This is Tech Talk for Accountants Show, where we discuss the hottest topics, tools, apps, and trends in the accounting industry. This show is sponsored by Rush Tech Support, who is offering all listeners of the show a free IT audit so you can know whether or not your business is at risk of being hacked, having a data breach, or getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for non-compliance. You can schedule a free check at rushtech.online/podcast.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. I'm your host, Andrew Lassise with Tech for Accountants, IT specializing in accounting firms. And today, Daniel Moshe, I apologize, with Tech Guru IT, also IT specializing in accounting firms. So today we're going to be discussing some of the high level, maybe get into the weeds of what it takes to protect a CPA firm in this day and age, big or small. We'll go over a lot of the topics that people have been requesting, things we've talked about on webinars and public speaking things. He's a great person. So I'm really looking forward to the episode. And Daniel, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be here.
So how about giving everybody a little background on your company and what got you to where you are right now?
Yeah, I founded the company, not originally for IT, for CPAs, in my dorm room 17 years ago at the University of Minnesota. And I would drive around the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul in my rusted out Honda Accord, helping people with their computers, setting up iMacs, configuring printers, and putting in routers when Wi-Fi was still relatively new. And the company's grown and evolved to the point where we just love helping businesses. We love making an impact. We exist to make positive change in the world. And we just found that, hey, if we focus on a particular niche, just like you have discovered, we can make a bigger impact and make a more positive change. And so it's a little bit of background on me and the company.
I feel like that's kind of the background of most IT companies. It's like, we started out as break fix and driving all around everywhere, right, to fix these stupid problems, da, 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 da. And then our experience was, one happy client turned into 10, turned into 1,000, 20,000, and it just kept growing. So hey, that was what ours looked like. And I mean, year one, it was like, I think we had maybe 100 clients, but then, just kept, or 100 users, just kept growing and growing after that. And after my first year, I net $3,000. I know that the CPAs know what that word means.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't all the glory that had been built up to be, but luckily, it was the trials I had to go through to get to where I'm at now. So when you guys made that transition, it was break fix, correct?
No, we made the transition from being hourly, called time and materials business model, to a IT managed services, all you can eat, fixed fee monthly service years prior. And so, and I know that's an exciting journey that, many, CPAs and accountants are looking at as well. So it's kind of cool to have gone through that transition. So many of our clients came with us on that journey to really building an IT experience that was much more where our interests were aligned, where we're helping you and helping our clients, stay up and running and keeping their downtime to an absolute minimum. And that was still when we were an IT generalist. In fact, when I started the company, it was IT for anybody. It's home, people in their homes, small offices, all over Minnesota, all over the Twin Cities. And so it's interesting that over the course of these 17 years, we've done fewer things better. And I think if you can imagine like kind of a funnel, right? It's like, but as we've done fewer things, we've gotten better at them, and we're better able to bring more value, make a bigger difference, make a bigger impact. So the first, going from time and materials to managed services, and then even more narrow focus into a particular specific industry, we've only continued to make a bigger and more positive impact. And frankly, we talk about, we use EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or Traction, if you heard of that. And part of that is like living your ideal life, doing what you love, people you enjoy working with, being properly compensated with time for other passions, and making an impact in the world. And we're like, hey, how can we better live our ideal lives and help our clients do the same? And so we found like, gosh, it's just too doing too many different things. It's too hard to be really good at it. And so we said, let's just do less better. And then, you know, the other thing is it's easier to go to market when you have just one particular niche. And then the other thing is our team members are happier because they don't have to worry about, you know, all different kinds of industries and different business models. We can really dive deep and learn, understand this one particular interesting business model, the world of accountants and CPAs.
And then I'm sure as you discovered, as we did, I mean, coming into it 5 years ago, and we've been through very, very similar experience of going from T&M to managed service for everybody to managed service for accountants. Mm-hmm. And then digging even deeper, I mean, I was under the impression, as many people that aren't accountants or aren't dealing with them on a daily basis, I just kind of grouped everyone's an accountant. I guess everyone's a CPA, and that's what you all are. Like, you're an accountant, and so you're a CPA. That's what everything means. And of course you do taxes because that's what you all do. And then, you know, one of our clients is an enrolled agent.
Yeah.
And I remember I was talking with him and I was like, you know, you got to use people with credentials, even if the credential doesn't mean a whole lot. Like, I wouldn't be comfortable getting my taxes done from someone that's not a CPA. And he's like, I'm not a CPA. And I'm like, what? What do you mean you're not a CPA? You're an accountant. Aren't you all CPAs? He's like, no, there's a lot of layers to this stuff. And so, mm-hmm. you know, huge difference between like a CPA versus an enrolled agent versus a bookkeeper versus, you know, all the other designations right. and different avenues that people can go. So even though you niche down, and yeah. I mean, my thought was accountants in general, I'd learned this before we made the full switch, but I just kind of thought they were all the same. And then the deeper I dig, realize, you know, the Drake people are very different from products right. X, Y, and Z. And, you know, QuickBooks isn't everything to everybody. And there are people that are using Xero, and, you know, there's a shift in that direction, and people have all these, and in my mind was just blown. So even when you're saying doing less things better, it's like the more you learn, the more right. you realize there's so much more to learn. And sure. that it's not just, well, we only deal with accountants that also only use Drake in conjunction with QuickBooks Desktop, the end, because there's right. still, and you can get that granular, you know, but having the niche has been, it's been a really cool learning experience, just seeing. And for us, there's so many parallels, like you had mentioned, where, you know, accountants are trading their time for dollars mm-hmm. instead of, and only doing compliance work, which I guess, you know, in the IT world would be like break fix or something that like sure. it's commodity. Tactical. You either yeah. do it or you do it right or you do it wrong. You could mm-hmm. be better than someone else, but nobody's gonna, everybody's pitch is I'm the best. Like, oh, wow. Yeah. What a unique selling proposition. This guy actually right. said he's the best.
Yeah.
So like, being more of a consultant, and is that something that you help your clients with? Like, if they're going through growth phases where they used to be one person, now they're 10, 20, 50, 100, 500, you know, going through that big explosive growth and realizing spreadsheets and Word documents aren't going to cut it anymore. Have you been able to assist with consulting in some of that area?
Yeah, to some extent, we catalyze what they want to do. Right. We're at the end of the day, a technology firm. We don't, and there are other consultants and specialists out there that go deep into the business model and business process automation. Don't necessarily get as much into that yet or at this time. And instead, what we do is we listen to understand, where are you headed? Where do you want to take your firm? What do you want to accomplish? You want to exit? When do you want to retire? When do you want to, you want to grow? Do you want to scale? Some people are just really happy where they're at and they just want to work maybe a little less or have things work a little smoother. And so we just really meet people where they're at. And if they want to experience explosive growth, we are happy to be part of that, you know, co-pilot on that rocket ship, so to speak. And we help, as you do, with enabling them to be able to accomplish that with the right tools, allowing their people to work remotely and flexibly if they need to. You know, big challenge right now is hiring and staffing in the accounting space. Really, the labor pool is really limited. So keep finding and then keeping the people they have is a lot of times a top priority that we're helping them accomplish, and be able to hire and work more flexibly gives them an edge in the labor market. And so we help enable that with technology. So every business strategy they have, we try to find a technology that's going to help accelerate that.
And I think it's good to point out, you know, that not everything is a one size fits all.
Totally.
And so when you have a lot of experience seeing things from different angles and how different organizations in the same industry are utilizing certain technologies, and people can say, I'm having this problem with my clients are emailing me, their 1040s and their W-2s and their 1099s. They're emailing it to me. I keep telling them not to. They don't listen. They're taking pictures on their smartphone and texting it to me. And, you know, but what, and so they're bringing up though, here's an issue that I'm dealing with. Here's a frustration that I have. And there are a million generalist tools that can solve a million general problems. Sure. So, you know, you could look at that from the angle of, all right, how do I get people to get me this information the way that I want to receive it? Yeah. Or there's, you know, products like Lissio, where some of our clients are using that, where the client can take the picture and upload it to the portal. They can email it and goes into the portal. So the client has the ability to send the information how they prefer to send it.
Yeah.
But the recipient gets to organize it the way that they want it organized. So it's a win-win. Whereas, you know, in a general sense, it's like, well, we could probably put Dropbox on their phone and, you know, we could
set
that up. We could download it and move it into our thing. So there's ways you can automate the process, make it more efficient when you've got the exact tool for the exact issue. Whereas, you know, it's like, if all I have in my hand is a screwdriver and I've got a nail, like I could flip it around and just kind of bang it in and like I could get the nail in, but it's better to use a hammer to knock in the nail because that's what that's it's designed for. You're going to have a better experience. And so
I want to riff off of that if I could.
Yeah.
Which is like, I think like accountants, CPAs, they have like, if they don't help educate their clients about the right way, the secure way to share confidential information, who is? Nobody's going to, they wouldn't know otherwise. So I think that CPAs and accountants, they have a tremendous, I'd call it an opportunity, but also I think almost a responsibility to educate their clients on good data hygiene, right? Making sure that they're sharing and storing and documenting very confidential information, information that can be used to steal their identity, right? Easily, that it's done in a safe way. So anyway, that's the thought that I have.
And I'm with you 100%. I feel like the reason that the clients probably are okay with doing it through these very, very insecure methods, it's not one of those things where don't touch a hot stove because immediately after you touch it, it's going to hurt and you'll never do it again. It's more like the cigarettes analogy of you smoked one cigarette and nothing really bad happened, but you keep doing it for years and years and years and it's going to build up over time. So you send one email with your social security number in plain text and nothing bad happens and it was easy enough. It's like, why would I go through the process of learning something different when my identity didn't get stolen? To my knowledge, because you know, it's not like someone's going to steal it and then like leave a post-it note like, thanks for your information, I stole it, here's how to find me. You know, like when you steal something, you wouldn't you know, and they're smart people, right? Like,
no, they are.
Hackers are smart. So smart. So
I know.
And
I know.
People say, why would they do this? Why don't they do something good? It's like, because they could send an email and make $1 million. Like, think about it. If you throw out your morals and you could make $1 million by clicking send and tricking somebody, throw your morals out the door. Yeah. I mean, that is why they do it. Why would you get a job and work 40 years for $25,000 a year to make $1 million when you could also click send and get that money today by screwing somebody else over? So that's why.
No. And so I think that's why we're on a mission, Andrew, to cyberproof as much as we possibly can all of our clients and put those individuals out of business and have them have to go back into legitimate workforce. So I'm like, you know what? We can do our part. We don't want to ever have to put our client in a position where they're considering to have to pay a ransom or anything like that, or have information be stolen or have money be stolen from them. And, you know, CPAs, man, they're targets. You know, they're, you know, sending invoices to their customers, sending in information, doing and sometimes managing money for their clients. And so it can happen. And so that's why we're just through education, through two-factor authentication, we've talked about in the past, through all these different available it's not just technology, it's really the people too. It's like, we can empower and engage and have the team members on our clients' company, in our clients' companies, really kind of question and think about what's going on and what that email says or whatever, you know, then and make them resilient. Like, I really think that's our responsibility and our opportunity to help and make a difference.
And so you kind of alluded to, you know, the people are the first line of defense. So if somebody sends you a phishing email and you just don't open it, boom. Problem avoided, right?
But it's the mystery box. What's in the mystery box?
Right.
You want to open it. You want to see. You want to click. What happens?
Right. Well, that's one of the things that I love that my clients do. But then on the other side, it's like, just learn how to identify these things like an IT professional. So like I literally, just Andrew, before we got on this,
some of them are really good. Some of those emails, I've clicked on one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm an IT professional. I've been like, and I can see those emails, but I clicked on it, I was like, oh, I can't believe I did that. It was a OneDrive sharing thing. I'm like, finance folder. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm sure that's possible. That's very common. That might happen. But no, I was like, wait a second, this isn't right. So I didn't keep going, but whew. You know, some of them are they're getting very tricky and very sneaky nowadays.
They really, really are. And it's funny, as you were saying that, I was just thinking, because the client had just messaged me saying, I pulled it up just to check the link, because it was for their VoIP system saying the password was reset. He said, I didn't have anything to do with this. I was like, call the technicians. Like the password reset email, it seems like it would be phishing because there's nothing that we did to initiate it, but it checked all the boxes. It was from the right domain and it had a click here and it had the text of here is the link that you're going to reset your password. And I thought about it and I was like, I didn't hover over the link to make sure that that's where it was actually going. Thank God it was. Like I had that sinking feeling of what if it was just a really, really, really good one. But that's the thing is, you know, we're trained to spot all these little things.
Yeah.
But
they are little details.
Yeah. And it's those little details though, literally could be the difference between your business existing and your business being fully encrypted with a ransom that's higher than the amount of money that you bring in all time into the organization. Like it literally happens.
Well, they try to price it so they can get something from you. Right.
Well, exactly. But like at a high level, the implications of one wrong click, literally blink of an eye mistake. Yeah. It's just like someone's in, you know, say a car accident. And it's like that one thing completely derails everything. And so
the other thing I would mention, Andrew, is we talked about these bad actors out there. You know, they send 100 emails, they send 1,000 emails. They just need one.
Yeah.
Right. And so the odds are just so stacked against us because the potential gains are so huge if they just get one. So they're going to keep doing it. So we have to continue to be, continue being more and more resilient.
And that's why it's being required that that accountants have security awareness training.
Yes.
And why, you know, as being on the MSP side of that, it's good practice to begin with. You should be doing it regardless of whether or not it's something that's required by the industry.
Totally. Everybody should.
But having that, and I mean, you know, it's not an expensive thing to implement. It's very, very helpful that people will have their guard up because we've seen it time and time again where the customer, you need to reset your Office 365 and they click it and it's got their email in there, type in your password. Like everything looks good, but it's just a local file that's sending off the password. And every time I do anything and I get like an error page afterwards, my heart is just like, what happened? Like yesterday I signed
up. What have
up.
I done?
Yeah. I have a rental property and just got a new tenant and I used a new screening service. It was recommended to me by a friend who's a realtor. And when I set up the account, so what happened was the password, it cuts off after 10 characters. And so I had typed it in and it matched each time, but the password that I had put in there was 11 characters. Mm. And so when you type in the password to log in, it lets you do those 11. So I'm like, okay, I know what password I specifically put in for this specific website.
Yeah.
Why isn't this working? And I was doing it in Brave browser. And so it wasn't compatible with that also. So I'm like in another browser, I'm having a heart attack. I'm sure though a regular person would just be like, guess the computer's not working, turn it off, turn it on. And I'm like dying because I know like what it could be. Turns out, you know, it was just browser wasn't compatible and the stupid password, it just cuts it off.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of passwords, I that's a great topic. I get a lot of questions about that. I'd love to hear your input on this one, Andrew. I'm really encouraging people nowadays to use a different secure password for every site and use a password manager. And that's encrypted and secured with two-factor authentication, like LastPass, for example. So that's where I'm headed now. It's just like, because it seems like too frequent that a site is breached and like my information is out there. I'm like, that one password is unique to that site is out there and my email, unfortunately. But at least I know that I'm not using that password literally anywhere else. You know, of course, there's potential like concerns or drawbacks, but I literally don't know the passwords for any of the sites I have access to. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
And I echo exactly everything that you said. Different encrypted passwords. Literally, I use LastPass also. I've been a fan.
Ah, nice.
10 plus years. And you know, there's
10 years.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I want to say 2008 was actually when I first got into the LP game way before Log Me In and all that stuff. But anyway, so they have a great feature and this is, you know, anybody can implement this. You download their free extension. I have the paid one, but you know, you could get the free one and you literally, when it says to make a password, and this, you know, I was speaking at a high level, but that's what happened was, you know, it generates the crazy password for you. And so what I do is I copy it just so it's, you know, in the clipboard in case I need it immediately afterwards. Mm-hmm. So it gives you the crazy password. I don't need to know what it is. I just need to know my LastPass, one crazy password that has two-factor authentication and it's got the encryption. And yes, it's a single point of failure. But it's kind of like the argument, you know, is the White House secure? You know, why would we keep the president in the White House? That's a single point of failure. But I mean, it's protected backwards, forwards, up and down, armed guards, the whole everything. Yeah. So even if you know where it is, still to be able to get in, there's so many layers of protection on top of it that, you know, the argument of single point of failure is not a good thing, but at the same time, if it is well protected, you know, the alternative is you have a million different passwords. You need to remember each one, and all of our clients, you know, when we're going in and it's like, okay, QuickBooks desktop, and you sit there and it's at the enter your password screen, and we don't want to know their passwords, but the guy's like, okay, my password for QuickBooks, it is, and I'm just looking at it, like race metal, try 16. If it's 17, it's because they made us reset it. It might be 18, just race metal. And then however many times they made us change our password, that's the next number. That's our password. And it's actually our password for everything. Everything else is just race metal. One exclamation mark, you know, but I mean, again, we come back to, if you haven't felt the consequences of doing that, I mean, the easier thing is, you know, let's have one key to open every single door. And as long as, you know, nothing happens, like a data breach, which isn't your fault, like you had mentioned, somebody else can have a data breach. So if you have the same, you have the same email password combination on Nickelodeon.com as you do on bankofamerica.com. Well, Nickelodeon gets breached. Who cares? They're going to, you know, play with my slime points or whatever's on that site. They can also play with your money points in your Bank of America.
Yeah.
The same password. And it wasn't encrypted. And there's so many things that can go wrong, but if you're not living in that world, you're usually not seeing it. The other day I had someone,
until it's too late.
Yeah. I had someone that they got the fake, your Norton has auto renewed for $400. If this was a mistake, call us. We'll get it corrected. They called them, let them on the computer. Norton accidentally refunded them $300,000, but they didn't actually do that. So being the kind people that they were, Norton showed them they had all this money in their account accidentally from Norton. So to be a good person, they needed to empty their home equity line of credit and their lifetime savings to correct this issue that fake Norton accidentally made. And then, and, you know, they had them go to the bank account, keep the call on speakerphone, like lie to the bank. And like, they have these things just, it's so sad. And being really on the other side of the phone call, you know, and they're like, I just didn't want to get auto renewed for Norton.
Yeah.
And now my bank account's empty. And it's like, if you did nothing, you know, with the proper training, if you did nothing, this wouldn't have happened at all. All you had to do was not do anything.
But they get you. There's a YouTube video where they scam the scammers. You saw that?
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like,
yeah, it's really interesting. And it was really educational to me. Mark Rober, does that sound right?
I don't recall the name. I remember watching it 2 years ago and just like my jaw
it's
dropped.
Hard to watch.
How crazy.
Yeah. It's hard to watch because it's just like they're trying to take advantage of people who are, you know, not, you know, they're older or just unable to really kind of discern, you know, what's going on. And I was like, oh, gosh. There's only a way we can make a positive impact, but we can, right? We can educate and help. Cause it's businesses too, that are getting scammed, not just individuals.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, this person just happened to be, you know, even though we've like made the transition and the niche, you know, we're a victim of our own, I'd put ego, like a victim of our own success. We have lots of accountants that refer their clients to us that aren't accountants. And so, I mean, literally what we do just to scale it, we just give everybody the accountant package because most industries aren't regulated aside from medical that need all the things. So for us, it's just easier to manage where everybody's got top to bottom, great security, but you know, putting those things in place just for everybody across the board, having the proper training and having them understand that this isn't just the kind of stuff in sci-fi, and it's literally happening every day. There was a headline in the news last week, like a baby died in a hospital because of a ransomware attack.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Like the computers were down and I don't recall like the exact details, but it was like a baby in Alabama literally died because of a ransomware attack. And, you know, they've got good security there, but
yeah,
it's one mistake, one vulnerability, you know, your house can have lockdown everywhere, but if your side window is open, yeah, you don't usually use the side window, but guess what? It still gets you into the house.
Yeah. It's going to be exploited. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So as far as some of the best practices that you guys have adapted, what are some of the easier things? You know, we could always get like into the weeds on all the crazy things that we can do, but say someone, you know, it's a solopreneur or a small firm and they don't really have the budget resources, they're growing, whatever. What are some of the things that they can do to protect themselves? We touched on passwords, which huge thing, security awareness training, another easy thing that could be implemented. Any other things come to mind?
I think keeping your software on your devices up to date, I think can go a long way, you know, and keeping just relatively modern, modern gear with modern operating systems. I think it can make you more resilient because there's new features and functionality that are going to put you more in control of what you're seeing, what you're clicking on. So that'd be one easy thing that is going to help just stay ahead of what's going on. And I'd say if you have opportunities to go to sessions at conferences that you might be at, and there's a technology related one, educate yourself. It's always changing and at a very rapid pace. And so if you can allow, you know, 1 hour out of a conference that you're attending to learn about some of the new and emerging, you know, technologies that are out there and or the new and emerging threats that you might be running across, that way you're seeing it not for the first time when it comes into your inbox. How about you?
I'd say my go-to with everything, but there's the little bit of a learning curve, but the two-factor authentication, multi-factor authentication. Yes. It's literally the best, least expensive security that you can do. It's a pain, but boy, is it worth it, because you know, back to that Nickelodeon Bank of America example, they have your username, they have your password. Okay. Enter that 6-digit code that's on your phone right now.
Yes.
Well, I'm in another country just trying to log in, and it's saying, well, you have to prove that you're you.
Yeah.
That little extra step, it's annoying, you know, and even in IT, I don't enjoy having to put in a 6-digit PIN every day. I start my day and, you know, look at the monitoring tools and look at, you know, all the things that we log into every day. Yeah. It's a pain and it takes an extra 2 minutes out of my day every single day. But at the same time, you know, our clients are trusting us, and accountants deal with this too. You know, your clients are trusting you with all of this data. So, you know, that it takes an extra 20 seconds to log in each day, it's a pain. Perfect. It's annoying, but how many times would be a good amount of times to have a data breach before you start worrying about it? Like one mass email to all your clients apologizing that you were breached and then paying $250 a year for credit monitoring for all of them, would that be a good time to maybe spend a little money in protecting your business? You know, we buy E&O and it's not like you anticipate mistakes, but just in case. And and with IT, you know, you actually get some value that's actually tangible on top of the peace of mind and things like that. So I think it's a great place to leave off. Daniel, where can people learn more about you?
Yeah, I would say check out our website, techguruit.com.
Yeah, and obviously everyone listening would think that we are the best of the best, but just in general, I mean, we've passed business back and forth that weren't good fits for either of our organizations. And at the end of the day, it really is about taking care of the customer. And that's why it's always exciting, you know, working with other people that understand the industry's ins and outs. And you talk to a generalist and you say, oh, well, my client is using Drake. And they're like, what's Drake mean? Yeah, you mean the singer? And it's like, no, no, like tax prep software.
Yeah, we get it.
Like, you know, like Thomson Reuters and, you know, ATX, like, you know, like tax prep solver. And it's like,
I think there's a lot more to gain from collaboration and working together to continue to make the industry better. And there's so many firms out there that need our help. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity to chat back and forth about IT for accountants. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, if you're interested in a complimentary IT audit to see maybe if you do not have all the things we discussed today, or, you know, maybe you've heard your brother, sister's friend, who's a, or brother's sister, I guess that would just be your sister. Yeah. you're whomever your IT guy, that's a real, you know, whiz. That's a freshman in college for computer science, which has nothing to do with what we do. If you want to just double check on them, go to tech4accountants.net, and we could conduct a free audit for you and let you know if you have a good system, or maybe there are ways we can help. But Daniel, thank you so much for being on the Tech Talk for Accountants show, and I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you for doing this great service for accountants out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. Be sure to subscribe if you like the show. And remember, if you would like a complimentary IT audit of your business, go to rushtech.online/podcast to schedule a time with a certified technician who can look over your current IT systems and make recommendations on how to make sure you and your clients are safe.